You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, filling in for Tony D, here's Mike Gill.
First concert I ever attended, STP, Man Music Center. Mike Gill, SB Nation AM, in for Tony D. This is cool. The All-State Day for Play is in Kansas City. Soccer fans can shoot on goal against Tony Meola, the legendary United States men's soccer goalie, take photos with the Gold Cup trophy, and participate in a soccer ball exchange. It's at the Power and Light District, 50 East 13th Street, Kansas City. The Day for Play event kicked off by the local All-State agents. And Tony Meola now joining us here on SB Nation AM. Mike Gill in for Tony D. Tony, welcome to the program. How are you?
Hey, Mike. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, and it's an exciting time for the soccer fan, and of course the World Cup for the ladies, the Gold Cup for the men. Let's start off with the women, though, because I thought yesterday, if you follow women's soccer, the U.S. women's team, their first real test, right? Spain's pretty good. Would you walk out of that impressed, underwhelmed? How would you kind of describe? I mean, 2-1 win, you get the two goals, including that penalty kick late to seal the deal.
Yeah, I would term it as impressed. For me, look, it's not always going to be 13-0, as we know, right? It's not always going to be that easy for them. And yesterday, on a day where they ran into an up-and-coming Spanish team, they sometimes in games, as you know, you got to find ways to win, and that's exactly what they did yesterday. And I saw some stats. I was flying in last night. I saw some stats after the game. The U.S. only had two shots on goal, and the goalkeeper for Spain didn't register a save. So, as you know, that means it was only the two penalty kicks, that ended up in the back of the net. There's games you got to grind out. We hear it all the time. I think the one thing that we learned from that game, and I'm sure the one thing France and anyone else the U.S. is going to play moving forward, is if you're physical with them, you have a chance to stay in the game. They did a good job, the U.S., of managing it yesterday. And by being physical, that dictated that the game meant they were going to get two penalty kicks in it. And Megan Rapinoe obviously buried both of them. But you find different ways to win. It's not always the same way. And I think that's the sign of a good team, is you figure out what the flow of the game is and you try and win that way.
Yeah, Tony, a lot of talk about specifically the second goal and whether or not that was a penalty, and there's a lot of back and forth, I guess, with the replay and everything. But what did you think on the second one?
Well, I think a little bit fortunate. Was there contact? You never really could tell. I think once the referee went to VAR, there wasn't enough to say, okay, I'm going to change my call. We call them, it was a soft penalty, and that's how we kind of term them in this game. It was a soft one. If there was the contact, for sure, we really couldn't tell from any of the replays. So once the referee makes that call, there's not much there for her to overturn it. And obviously worked out well for the U.S.
Sure did. 2-1, they beat Spain, and now they got a big test coming up. They'll play France at 3:00 on June the 28th. Tony Meola is with us. How talented is the U.S. team next to the next best team? I think you got France, and being at home has got to be a big factor. And then I think, everybody looks at Germany. They're kind of a women's soccer power. Is there anybody else, or is it really those three? And are the U.S. women head and shoulders? Is it a lot closer than maybe it's been in the past?
Yeah, well, going into this, all the experts said that this was the tightest tournament we were going to see. So I don't think they're head and shoulders. It's the deepest team we've ever had, but they're not head and shoulders above the teams moving forward here. And I think they're at a point now where they probably have played a knockout round game in the past, where if they weren't their sharpest, they could get through just because they were more talented than teams. They need to be at their best moving forward here if they're going to win. I think it's a little bit odd that the two best teams in the world somehow find a way to match up in the quarterfinals. This would have been a great final if they both got there, but it is what it is. And I always thought before the draw that if they were going to win the World Cup, they were going to have to beat France at some point. It just happens to be here in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, that game June 28th, 3 o'clock, and the U.S. women win 2-1 yesterday. Tony Miolo, U.S. Soccer represented the U.S. national team at the 90, 94, and 2002 World Cups. But we know the U.S. men, who are at the Gold Cup, they won 6-0 over Trinidad and Tobago. So should U.S. fans get excited by that, or this is what they're supposed to do, which makes it even more frustrating that they didn't qualify and lost to Trinidad and Tobago in the past?
Yeah, they're in a little bit of a tough spot right now, because if they don't beat Trinidad by a decisive score, people say, you know, they're not playing well, it's a young team, they're in transition. And then when they do, you look at it and say, oh, well, Trinidad is, you know, they're a young team, they're also in transition, they didn't play well, the breaks didn't go their way. You know, I look at it sometimes, you know, we're all in sports, and I look at it, so fans just are never really happy, it seems like, until that final whistle when you win a championship. And I look at the team, they're in transition. We wasted a year after the World Cup, but with that year, we did get some young players who are now seeing sort of grow into the international game. I hate to say, after not qualifying, we have to have a little bit of patience, because when it comes to results for the U.S. men's team, I'm probably the least patient guy, you know. But I think that's the stage that we're in right now. It was a good result. Obviously, our biggest victory in Gold Cup history. It comes against Trinidad, a team, by the way, that was equally as good the other night as the team that knocked us out of the World Cup down there in Trinidad on October 10th in 2017. So a good result. Hopefully it's a sign of something to come for this group. And as you know, in sports, there's different ways of getting rhythm and different ways of building your team. In our sport, you know, you don't see a lot of 6-goal games. Maybe it was an opportunity for them to feel really good about some of the work that they've done over the last couple of months under Greg Berhalter, that they're getting it a little bit. They're getting what he wants. They're getting what it takes to play in his system. And maybe for Greg Berhalter, it really was his first statement game, but for him, he's starting to learn his players and who really fits in where.
Tony, what – and, like – it's because of the way these tournaments are kind of broken up in the time frames. You had the World Cup a couple of years ago, then you don't qualify for the World Cup. Now you're playing in the Gold Cup. And what do you think the men need to do to kind of have a successful summer, to kind of get people back excited about the national team?
Well, when we look at Gold Cup, it's always been win the Gold Cup. And clearly it's always been win the Gold Cup at the expense of Mexico, right, our biggest rival. And if that happens, you start to turn the corner. Mexico, as much as they're missing some players here, they're a very talented side. And they've been scoring goals under Tata Martino, who was at Atlanta United last couple seasons, won an MLS Cup there. They're a really talented side and are the favorites and should be the favorites in this tournament. But if you go ahead and get to a final, has always been sort of the staple, and now you've got to win the Gold Cup. They are the defending champs, no matter how you look at it, the U.S. And, if they can find a way to win this cup, I think it's one of those moments as a team that they can turn the corner a little bit.
Tony, they'll play Panama in Kansas City, which is where you will be for this yep. All-State official day for play in Kansas City ahead of the Gold Cup tournament, and it's a soccer fan's delight there. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, as you mentioned in the open, we'll be here from 11 to 2 locally in our day to play. It's been an initiative that we've taken around the country in a bunch of cities. I've been in St. Paul and Cleveland, obviously here in Kansas City, going all the way through the finals in Chicago. Essentially a day to sort of recognize your love for the game and get out. I got a lot of things going on. You touched on some of them. We've got a soccer ball exchange, so bring your old soccer ball in. We'll change it for you. You get to take some pictures with the actual Gold Cup that's been traveling around everywhere with us. So we got a lot of things going on. We'll give away some match tickets and just have a day where we can just interact with fans, you know, meet and greet some people that have sort of the same love for the game that you do. And I look forward to it. I've been doing this with Allstate around the country for a little over almost 6 years now, and we've had different initiatives. This one is just to recognize the sport, recognize the fact that we love this game that so many people have passion for.
25 years ago, 94 World Cup, and you were a huge part of that U.S. men's team, round of 16 here in the States. Was that the height of U.S. men's soccer, and are we close to getting back there? Probably not.
Well, you didn't have to say it was 25 years ago, just so you're clear. It seems like yesterday. Was it the height? It was probably the height of our sport. For sure, it was the jump start to Major League Soccer. It was, I can't tell you still today how many people say to me, 1994. That's the team that I watched. That's the team that turned me onto the game. You know, your group of guys. Was it the height of the national team? I look at sort of the modern era in 2002, where we were a handball away against Germany from going to the semifinals of the World Cup. That was a quarterfinal match against Germany. Had there been VAR, that game looks a little bit different. That result looks a little bit different, and the U.S. could have been playing in a semifinal of a World Cup. I still think that particular team, at least for me, was the best national team that we've had in a long time, and maybe ever. And that's where we need to get back to. We need to get back into knockout rounds. We need to get back into competing in a quarterfinal again. I really feel that this team, this particular team, is built for 2026 when the World Cup is here in the U.S., which could be a really exciting time. But there's a lot of work to be done before we get there. There's no doubt. Talented group, growing group, a young group. And I've been really bullish for years. I coach in the youth national team program. I've been really bullish on young players, the young players that we have coming up for years. And now we're starting to see that cycle play at the national team level.
Well, Tony, it was a pleasure to catch up with you. And obviously, summertime is here, and soccer takes center stage. Gold Cup for the men, World Cup for the women, and we're enjoying the ride here. Check out Tony in Kansas City. Tony Miola here on SB Nation AM. Thank you so much, Tony.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
And great to catch up with him as the U.S. soccer women 2-1. And it was Megan Rapinoe who had the two goals, both, as Tony mentioned, on penalty kicks. But it was really that second one that a lot of people, and he said it was kind of a weak goal. But you know what wasn't weak? Megan stepping up to the line in that atmosphere with all that pressure for the second time in the 76th minute to try to get a victory. And look, a lot of people expected the U.S. women to win that game. When you have the pressure of maybe not making that kick and possibly disappointing your team, there is a ton of pressure there. And Rapinoe very calmly, you know, put that past the goalie, and U.S. goes to win 2-1. And look, France is at home. We know, as Tony just mentioned on the men's side, U.S. men beat Trinidad and Tobago 6-0 yesterday. They lost down there, and possibly because the game was there. And that shows you how big being on your home turf changes things. So France has that going for them. And Germany, always very good. Very intriguing Women's World Cup and then the Men's Gold Cup. Where can the men's soccer program go? Tony just said it. 2026. I know that seems like it's a long ways off. But as you get older, these years move by a lot quicker. All right. Good soccer conversation with Tony. When we come back, how about James Holzhauser? What's he doing? The former Jeopardy champion took on a new hobby. It didn't last all that long. I've got the details coming up next. Mike Gillen for Tony D. This is SB Nation AM.